Well, welcome to Rapture Centric Radio. It looks like it's time to start. I've been doing research. I got a project today. And it wasn't Keith that gave me homework. Somebody else gave me homework. Speaking of Keith, I think he's on the phone. Keith, is that you?
Hey, Jerry. I'll be with you in a few minutes. I'm just going to do something. I'll listen for a bit.
Okay, fine. And that looks like it might be Pat. Pat, is that you?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, guys.
How are you, Pat?
Okay, we're having thunderstorms now, but I'm still hanging in here.
Okay. And we have Deb on the phone from Texas, I think. Deb, is that you?
Yes, that's me.
Hi,
I'm here. Hi, Pat.
There you are.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi.
There you are.
There we is. Okay.
So, Pat, you gave me a confirmation today.
Really?
I was praying, and I got the message to talk about ISIS. And about a half an hour later, I got your email where you specifically suggested that and its connection to us and everything else. And I wasn't blown away because these things happen all the time here.
Right.
But definitely we're having those experiences.
Oh my gosh, it's pouring out and it's flickering. You might lose me, guys. Oh, I saw Keith, if I can't read the message you send me, I'm sorry to interrupt, but he wanted me to read something. Maybe he can read it from Trump. It's really, really good. Oh, we're getting slammed.
Okay. Excellent. Okay.
I'm going to stay as long as I can. But if you lose me, you know why. Okay, go ahead, dear. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, move on. We'll hope that things go well for you. I believe they will. And then Keith will be with us in a few minutes.
Yeah.
So
just
I've got song. Oh, we've got a few. We've got Alana and Rhea and Rosemary and Chat and a few guests. Hi, guests.
Hey, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry,
and,
guys.
It's okay.
Now,
it's okay.
Right now. Just cut it out.
It's family.
They're so noisy. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm really being screwy here. All right. Go ahead.
That's okay. We're just fine.
Oh.
So hi, everybody over there in chat. And
hi, guys.
So I played that song, It's a Matter of Trust, because we trust Jesus. It's in a call to us. You know, he's our pastor, and we not only trust him, but we love him because he loved us first, and he gave his life on the cross so that we could be redeemed to him and to God, and we have lived in that and experienced tremendous relationship with him and with those who also trust him. And that was an example of Pat's communication to me. Then a half hour, she sent me totally anonymously a confirmation about what I thought I received in prayer about what to talk about today.
Great.
Above all, we talk about God's love and our love for him. But today, a little bit in surprise to me, he wanted me to talk about ISIS, which we'll get into in a little while, I think. Let's see. Here's somebody else. Let's see if they want to talk. 408, do you want to speak? She may not. Anyway, Judy's on the line, but I think she's self-muted. So, Judy, if you want to speak, you can. Otherwise, we're just glad you're here. So,
I can read this conked out here.
Hey. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
I
Judy.
I just want to say hi. We're on our way back from Waterworld, so I'm listening, but I'm going to stay muted. Love everybody.
Okay.
Okay.
Love you,
yeah. Love you, sweetie.
God bless you guys.
Yep. Love you too, Judy.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so, and I think this is Tana who just called in. We'll say hi to her.
Oh, great. Hi, Tana.
Hi, Tana. Is that Tana?
Hi.
Hi, honey.
There you are.
I didn't know it had gone through. Hi, all. I'm at work.
Yeah.
Hi, sweetie.
Okay.
I love y'all. What's going on?
I'm on a bad storm here, but other than that.
We're doing okay. I, I'm going to talk about ISIS today a little bit, and I think everybody else is invited to chime in, I think, because partly we're going to review a little bit things I think we've already spoken about. But God made that an emphasis for me today, and Pat also felt that. So we're going to go into that and what the ramifications are historically as well as probably for the future. So we're going to talk about that a little bit and whatever else comes up. Do you have anything on your mind, Tana?
Oh, no. Just I love you all. And of course,
love you,
Johnny.
Love you, sweetie.
No, I'm anxious to hear all the information
you have. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. Pat, did you say you were ready to read?
Yeah, I wanted to read this in case I lose power because we have a lot of wind and rain right now and the lights are flickering. If you lose me, Keith can always continue this. But it's a really good message. So let me just get on with it here, okay, in case I get lost, I get shut off. Okay. My daughter is called My Mighty Hand. My daughter and sons, many of my children feel a quickening in their spirit. Yet again, the battle in the spiritual realm rages, and there is a connection to your earth quickness, my loves. When tension in the spiritual realm grows, so do the tensions around your earth, specifically Israel. My words to you today are to bring you comfort and prepare you for what is to come, my children, as a father would shield his children from the storm or from an enemy. I will shield you. I more than understand your longing to know what your future holds, but my children, you must trust me on some things that I am unable to answer for you at this time. Eventually, you will know the answer, but for now, find satisfaction in spending time with me and learning who I am, and keep yourselves from the constant quest of searching for answers when none will be given, specifically a rapture date. My loves, all your steps must be towards me and not searching for dates and times and hours, days and hours. Let me assure you, my children, that the day is coming. Receive my Holy Spirit, and I will help you in the final cleansing of your wedding garments. I must be involved in this, for you cannot cleanse yourselves. I am the sanctification you must be seeking. I am the answer you are always searching for. I love you, my children, and I know that you are excited about the time that we become one. I am as well, my loves, but do not give up doing what I am asking you to do in your time on this earth right now. Listen for my voice, my loves. I know it would be easy to shut down and to shelter in place, but this is not what I want my bride to be doing. I am an active participant in your life. If you will receive me just as you can show others my truths and direct them onto my path, time is short, my loves, and the door to the ark will close when you least expect. Do not drift off into the cares of this world or the distractions that you are faced with. Do not worry about your family and friends, and this is in caps. Simply pray for them, and my miracles will abound. No matter what you see or you are faced with, stand firm in my light and do not ever waver, for I will never leave you, my loves. I hold you in the palm of my mighty hands, and my righteousness covers you. Keep that truth in the forefront of your mind. So that was the message. Yeah, I got through. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that I was just looking up a song before you got to the second half of that, Pat, and I'm going to play it here in a minute, and it fits perfectly. It's called We Are Brave. You know, I had a sort of a little prayer struggle with God yesterday on sort of a topic, just what was mentioned there, and we were sort of praying about the dates and getting dates, and he'd really given me some very, very strong, specific encouragements, and I was having a little trouble understanding it. And finally, and this is just me, this is, you know, what he told me. It's not necessarily a message for everybody else, but I thought it was kind of interesting. He said, after actually going back and forth quite a while, he said, basically, it's a test of faith.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we are supposed to go forward in faith, just like we're told the rapture is today, and be in that frame of mind, and, you know, be happy. Believe it and be happy, like Judy has said. And so if you're not in that place, try to get there. And then the other reaction I had was actually I was a little bit mad, and but I wasn't mad at him. You know, sometimes you have a task, or you know you've got to learn something or develop a skill, and you feel like you've done everything you need to do to kind of get there, and you know you've gotten most of the way there. And then sometimes something will come up, and it'll remind you that you're not all the way there. And that was sort of his message to me, I think. But the reaction I had to it was I was so close to being there that I just sort of had this spiritual concept of I was mad at myself for not having – for not being complete. And, you know, I was just inspired to take that up as a challenge. And I just sort of envisioned myself as sort of the spiritualized version of the Incredible Hulk, ready to blast through walls to the end. Because I knew I was close, and you know, which, and I'm not saying anything, you know, grandiose about myself, but I knew I was close enough that, and I was encouraged enough to just grab that and go forward. And just, I was frustrated enough that these little challenges come up. I'm like, you know, maybe we pay too much attention to the things that challenge us and discourage us. And maybe we just need to pick up our charge, and in this case, in faith, and just go forward and dismiss these things that distract us or sometimes disappoint and encourage us. So I'm sort of going forward. I mean, I'm still in a great place. You know, I really am not – I don't believe I'm capable of being discouraged in any significant way. But we can all have some disappointments, and certainly when we're looking at days and dates, and we're led to do that. We are not doing it out of lack of faith. We're doing it because, you know, we've gotten to this place because we're led to do it. He's given us a charge to do it, and we respond to it. And so what he's doing is he's using these things not only as a test of our faith on a personal level where the days are concerned, but I know it's affected some things that I've done that I believe on an individual basis have helped me send some messages on occasion to other people that I think were enriching and beneficial for both of us. And so he is using these things, and they may not be the most comfortable, but let's put it this way. If your faith feels stretched, that's good news because it means you have faith. Because if your faith doesn't feel stretched, maybe you don't have so much faith. But if your faith is being stretched and he's working on it, the more often he works on it, the greater reassurance it is that you've got it to begin with, and he's working with it. So don't let that be a discouragement. And he really worked with me on that recently, and in particular yesterday I was having a little struggle. Just a personal one with him, and I fortunately had some time to work through him on that subject, and it took a while to get through the fact that I didn't understand it. And it took a while to wade through that. It was sort of like there were layers of misunderstanding, and then eventually I was able to kind of get to a deeper level with him, and he eventually gave me this understanding that he's stretching our faith and he's making us grow, and we're going to continue to do that. And so my image or concept was that I felt close enough that I was encouraged, and once I realized that he was just going to keep working with us, it's like, you know what, let's just grab it, put it under our arms, and blast mm-hmm. through these walls that mm-hmm. present themselves as challenges to our faith. Anyway, try to get to that point and find the encouragement in that, and then as the message Pat read suggested, you know, let's go forth encouraged. Let's not let these distractions deter us because he's with us. We know we're going to see things have things in our lives that present themselves as challenges.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we have the omnipotent with us, and he wants us to overcome these things in the way that he wills. So let's play We Are Brave.
We are brave!
Here about several minutes before the show started, I really felt some kind of a very strong uptick in energy, and I'm not sure what that is. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that or not, but it really seems like the Holy Spirit's on high alert right now, and I'm not sure what that's about. Something here recently, and I'm not sure what that is. So, if anybody else has that, let us know. Keith, are you back on the line yet? Or I'm just asking. You don't have to get on the line if you're not ready. Okay, I don't hear him. So, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm back on.
Okay, how are you, Keith?
Oh, okay. How are you?
Well, we're getting along. I had some distractions the last couple of days, but they were scheduled. They were just distractions. But anyway, we're getting there. And I'm supposed to be talking about ISIS today, so I thought a good way to lead into that might be, if you're ready, to get in some of the news.
In a few minutes, I'm doing my little exercise thing right now. But it's definitely Israel getting crazy right now with them attacking, Hamas. They're just going gung-ho on Hamas right now. I mean, they've got troops over there. They've got 40,000 troops was what I last said. And, there are hundreds of missiles, and they took out, 34 of their sites, which I think is where their storage of those missiles are at. I don't think Hamas has missiles that go long enough to really penetrate, too far into Israel. So I think that's why they're also going and taking those storage sites out. Where do you think this will escalate, Jerry? Think this will go into the Psalm 83 war?
I think it'll go all the way.
Yeah.
I think both sides' backs are to the wall, and Israel's known this day was coming in spite of some of the things that I read that say they were caught off guard or underestimated. This has been well known that they have all these missiles and what they were, and there's many stages of missiles that are in the hands of the militants in Gaza and also the West Bank. And some of them I don't believe have been used yet. And they're much higher degrees of sophistication. They're not like what the Iranians have, but they do have some guided missiles and larger unguided missiles that they've started to use now. And I think the numbers are such that they've now sort of embarrassed the Israeli powers, created enough momentum that I think they really won't have any choice but to act very, very substantially. And don't forget that the last major encounter that Israel has had with a terrorist organization, and in particular Hamas, was up in Lebanon in northern Israel. And basically they were run around in circles and very significantly embarrassed. And they cannot afford, either from a perspective of scaring their rivals or with the perspective of the security and confidence of the Israeli population, to be ineffective this time. They will go as far as they have to go to achieve a significant victory, whatever that is. And I think, under those circumstances, I don't think it's going to stop. I think both sides are ready to throw everything they have in stages, because that seems to be how they do things over there.
Yeah, but how are you thinking it's going to spill over into Psalm 83 war or, the Gog Magog war? How do you think?
Well, the biggest question I think there is whether Damascus and or Syria fits into this. And right now we don't know. I mean, we know it's in the region, but we don't know. I've always thought that somehow the Syrians would do something to provoke the Israelis, and then the Israelis would be responsible for the destruction of Damascus, which would lead to Psalm 83. The way things look right now, that doesn't seem to be as likely a scenario as just an ever-escalating sort of terrorist Islamic-like interaction. And the players are so mixed and muddled that it's very hard to say what's going to happen. But I do think Hamas is a very well-established, very well-funded and connected terrorist organization. And if they are on the verge of defeat, I believe there's even Western European countries that would secretly help them. so let alone Marines.
I think Iran might be supporting Hamas already anyways, but I think Israel said that they were going to, Israel said this morning that they were planning on defending Jordan against ISIS. Now that's one thing that can definitely pull Israel right into this whole craziness.
Oh, I think that's true. I think there's, yeah, in fact, the fact that I was told today to speak about ISIS is a great big clue to that. I think there's no question about it. I was really surprised because I really don't focus. I mean, I pay attention to these things that are going on. But, you know, when I pray or I think about topics or leadings for the show, I really don't think about world events so much. So the fact that ISIS was mentioned, but the thing is I do know some things and know some connections that project forward into prophecy, and I think maybe ISIS is definitely a matter of the moment, and I think we're just going to see continued escalation. And interestingly, one of the things I just read was that one of their earlier stated goals was to overthrow the Kingdom of Jordan. And just yesterday, Israel announced that they would protect Jordan from any terrorist onslaught.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
I mean, you can just feel the timing, especially, you know, being led to discuss ISIS today, which I clearly was.
Well, if ISIS goes into Jordan and Israel has to defend them, then right there you're going to have an exactly. That will directly lead into the Psalm 83 war. That will spin everything much bigger than this Hamas-Israel little thing. This will get – I don't know when ISIS plans to go into Jordan at all, but that's going to be a huge deal if Israel has to defend them. Big deal.
Well, the thing is, I think – yeah, go ahead, Pat.
No, the people – I was going to say the people – of Gaza, back to this Hamas, they don't want Hamas doing this because they're the ones getting killed, the civilians. There's 11 women and so many children that are dead already. Israel has no casualties, but Palestinians do that. And what Israel does to warn people they're going to bomb, they do a bomb outside the building to shake up the building, to get the people out of the building to run, and then they will bomb. This is their way of saying. But you can't blame Israel either because Hamas should stop firing onto Israel, and like Israel said, what if you, America, had a country lobbying, you know, missiles into, what would you do? Well, I would say in 5 nanoseconds they wouldn't exist, you know. You're not going to do that to us and get away with it. So they said the same difference, that we have a right to defend ourselves. If Hamas would stop sending these stupid rockets over, you know, but they're crazy. And all those innocents are being killed. The Palestinians, civilians are being killed. You know, this is, but the civilians, they don't want Hamas doing this.
They can never stop Hamas because you'll find one crazy,
they're crazy,
you know, Islam person who's going to jump in there and just send off the missile and it'll start the whole thing over. You know what I mean?
This is on and on and on. Israel is sending possibly 40,000 troops in there. Think of the style this is going to be. And that's a very crowded, you've got millions of people crammed into the Gaza Strip. Where are you going to maneuver anything? And look at all the civilians, because you know what these people do? They hide in the houses of the people, the militants. So who are you going to kill? Who are you going to aim at? It's a mess.
So millions of people that live, I didn't know there was that many people there.
Oh, there's millions. They're all crammed, jammed into this Gaza Strip. Yeah, it's insane. How are you going to get the militants? How are you going to kill the militants? You're going to be killing civilians.
There's a whole history to that. But before we get into that, I want to welcome Joe, because that's okay.
Hey, Joe.
But Joe's on the line. Joe, can you speak?
Hi, Jerry.
Sometimes.
Hi, honey.
Joe. Love you, Joe.
Love you,
hi,
honey.
Everybody. I love you all. Hi, Chad.
You good?
I just got home
you good?
From work, so.
Well?
Yeah, very good. Just got home from work.
Excellent.
Okay.
Hey, Joe.
Okay, super cool. The history of this is almost never told in the West, but if you really want to know the parties responsible for the huge concentration of people in these zones, the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, it is actually the United Nations and the Arab nations. And here's why. When the United Nations approved the creation of the State of Israel, they basically said, okay, Israel, you get to populate these areas. And that means displacing these different people, which were the people who are called Palestinians.
Right.
What they really are, they're a sort of a mixed race, Arabic race, that have the closest relationship to the Jordanian population.
Wow.
They're Edomites mostly. But what they are is largely the people who were displaced from the area that the Israelis took over. Now, why are they trapped there? Well, they're trapped there because the UN set up these border lines, and Israel, abided by them. But obviously, this created a tremendously large concentration of people in those areas that were displaced. Well, why did they all go there? Well, they went there because there wasn't a single Arab nation on earth that let them emigrate.
Wow.
They forced those people into that area, and they have used them as a wedge against Israel in public relations ever since.
Yeah.
And they've been treated very badly, while the Israelis have tried to help them build infrastructure. They've given them money and what have you as a general population. Uh-huh. The people who have treated them the worst are all the Arab nations who have all this area. They could have easily opened up the gates and said, sure, come on over. The Jordanians, the Saudis, they have endless amounts of desert and semi-desert that these people could have moved into. But they didn't do it. They won't do it. They never have allowed it. And those people are trapped in there because they are people without a country, because none of the Arabic nations would allow them to emigrate to their nations. And as a result, these people are trapped. And the Israelis really can't let them back into their population because the numbers are so great they would get overwhelmed. And, of course, all these people remember where it was their families lived before. So, by UN decree, they took over this land and these properties. But then there's all these people. And there was no provision ever made for where these people would go. And so they've been used.
Wow.
So they have been used ever since the 1948 as a, there's a term in my head that I'm not thinking of. But basically, they have been used as a reason of anguish of the Arab nations, but the people who treat them the poorest are the Arab nations themselves. And so then, of course, then they do radical activity out of those areas into Israel, and Israel has at various times chosen not to respond or to respond. And I'm not saying that everything Israel's done was the right thing, but what I can say for sure is the Arab nations have done nothing but to make those people's lives absolutely miserable ever since 1948. And so it would have been a simple thing for them to open them up and open up some of their land and accept those populations in, but they would not do it. So these people and those families, where you have several generations now, at least three generations, who have been trapped there and in those areas, which for the most part, and sometimes they're even called camps or, detention areas. And that's why, because I'm sure it feels like that. And of course, they're not allowed. And all the money that the Western countries have poured in, like the PLO and Yasser Arafat, and now the PLO under Mahmoud Abbas. By the way, Yasser Arafat's father was a major banker in that area before Israel came along. And when he took over the bank that represents those people while he was the leader of the PLO. And so even he has a banking tie to this, all this stuff. And all that money that got pumped into there, hardly any of it got to the people. And about the only money that ever got to the infrastructure was when the Israeli government went in and directly built infrastructure, like laid piping or built a road or whatever it was they did. Most of the other money was stolen or applied to terrorist actions and making a very select handful of people very wealthy. And so that's the history over there that we never hear in our Western media.
Yeah.
When you understand that that's the case, it really changes how you look at things. And those poor people have been terribly mistreated by the entire world, beginning with the UN and, in this case, the Arab nations, who could have easily allowed them to emigrate. And for that matter, the United States could have allowed them to emigrate, too. But nobody has allowed them to leave. None. No one. So they're trapped. And there are people without a country. And they're used as a hammer. They're used as a hammer to hit Israel over the head.
And they're so poor. They're so poor. Just wretched lives.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And so that's the original history that founded all that stuff. And so, you know, you carry that forward to today. But, you know, without that truth, you know, essential truth being aired, you don't have the context for everything that's come since then. Anyway, you know, we're at a different place today, and they are not, but we can certainly see world events coming around them. And I don't know, all I know is scripturally, prophetically, there is no relief for those people that I see. It looks to me like they're in a very bad way. And however, what I do think is that, you know, God won't let them alone. And somewhere over there, somehow, he must be evangelizing those people, because in practical worldly terms, they are in a very, very, very bad place. And things are just going to get worse. But as far as I can see in prophecy.
You know what Hamas is trying to do with all their bombs? They're trying to aim them at Israel's nuclear facilities. And that's one of the biggest challenges Israel has right now. They've got the dome thing that's shooting out the rockets from the sky, but jeepers, there's 40,000 at least rockets over there that are aimed at them, you know. And
that's
Iran and other places are going to keep supplying, because they hate Israel, and they're going to keep supplying the arms and the bombs to shoot over, you know.
Let me do the news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure, that'd be great, Keith.
Okay, so it says NYPD, terrorists are looking at drone attacks. Police say operators flew a drone too close to an NYPD helicopter that was on patrol at the George Washington Bridge and forced the chopper to change its course to avoid a collision. So looking at the drone, what was going on with that? Rockets intercepted over Tel Aviv were launched at a nuclear reactor. My gosh, that's what Pat was saying. That's insane.
Oh, it's if that goes, wow.
Man. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
whoa,
right.
That thing went off. Whoa.
What? I missed.
Three rockets were launched at Dimona in southern Israel on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
Iron Dome intercepted one rocket before it could land, while two other rockets landed in open areas. Man, good thing, because if they put like 5 or 10 at the same thing, one of them might hit.
Shoot them all
boy,
down.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, they'll figure it out.
Netanyahu vows Gaza offensive to intensify.
Mm-hmm.
Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu hinted at a possible ground excursion into Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip as the Palestinian death toll mounted past 40 from intense fighting. Isn't Shai better gracious? Okay, Methodist minister in the wrong. Something about this public official. I don't think it's important. Let's see. Circus riders rising. It doesn't mean anything. The spirit, okay, that doesn't mean anything either. The real cure for society's ills, more spirit and fire churches. Why Southern Episcopalians are in an all-out war. A dispute between the U.S. Episcopalian Church and a breakaway diocese angered over its approach to gay rights wound up in court on Tuesday as a trial got underway. Boy, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's what's going on with our churches. Percentage of wealth. Americans on welfare hits record high. Thousands of Apple employees celebrate San Francisco Gay Pride. A lot of the employees from the company went there. San Francisco Gay Pride Parade. California just got rid of its last barrier to same-sex marriage. California's same-sex couples may be pronounced spouse and spouse after Governor Jerry Brown signed it and changed it from man and woman. Um, gas-charged earthquakes linked to mysterious Louisiana sinkhole. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, they don't talk much about that bayou thing, but that thing's still crazy.
Yeah, going.
People forgot about it, but it's still going to explode.
Still expanding.
Yeah, it's still bad. Banks are dreading the computer hacks call for cyber war council. Wall Street's biggest trade group is proposing government industry cyber war council to stave off terrorist attacks that could trigger financial panic, okay, by wiping out account balances, et cetera. I know, I think it was 6 months ago or a year ago, people were trying to get into there and wipe out, they were hacking the entry into B of A and all those sites so you couldn't log in, then they stopped that. Okay, the police chief at IKEA was told to leave his gun outside. HHS seeks more military bases to house unaccompanied border minors. They're going to need more facilities. They should send them back or, I don't know, figure out something. We have a lot of charities in this company. Maybe they could take that money and set them up in Mexico and find a place there, you know, pay for it. Supervolcano is much bigger than previously thought. The world's authority on Yellowstone supervolcano is more than twice as big as scientists once thought. Whoa.
Oh, great.
Does it mean it's more likely to blow up soon? Probably.
Oh.
Iraq says terrorists seized former chemical weapons facility where deadly sarin is stored. Iraq says the terrorists seized former where the deadly sarin is stored. That's not good. Yeah. They've got that chemical weapons. Islamic State extremist group has taken control of a vast former chemical weapons facility near Baghdad. Whoa.
Hey, Keith. I just want to interrupt you real quickly because a thought came to mind about that.
Yeah.
Remember when the United States went in and there was this big discussion about whether or not Iraq had weapons of mass destruction?
Yeah.
And the discussion was, no, they don't have any weapons of mass destruction. Well, chemical weapons are considered weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
So now we're being told, oh, wait, they really had a whole lot of them, and now ISIS has them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The fact that ISIS has it, oh, boy, that's really scary. There's going to be all kinds of problems now that ISIS has it. It's going to be out of control. The Banjos have changed their minds on gay marriage. I guess it was like there was this guy, this young guy, he's in his 20s, and his name was he had made a video about, I was watching it this morning. He's a kid that was in college or something, and he's gay, and he has a YouTube video that went viral, racked up 730,000 views. Matthew Vines is his name, and he goes into, I was interested in his theory of what he was, because of him, a lot of the churches are changing their view on accepting gay marriage and stuff. So I was, first he said that the Leviticus and stuff is all Old Testament and that we're not accountable to that, which, you know, he has a point. We are under the New Testament. But then he went under the verse where it talks about the gay stuff plus all the other sins, you know, which includes about every sin possible for every human in that little verse. I think it was somewhere in Romans. But it's interesting how he was covering that. But his view, which had won all these Christians over, was that Paul was mentioning, you know, casual sex and not mentioning gay people being in love. And so that's why he was only disapproving of the sexual morality as not being married. So, in other words, the gay marriage would relationship-wise would be approved by the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So that means that's why all these Christians have changed their view, and because it had 730,000 views, it went viral and everything.
Oh,
crazy.
Wow.
I know. Oh, yeah. Billy Graham to release never-before-seen message on heaven. Oh, that will be interesting.
Oh.
Wow. Does it say when?
Costco. It's set to release on November 7th in honor of his 96th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Called Heaven, the message. Some book from Costco called by Dinesh D'Souza, America, Imagine a World Without Her. It was banned at Costco, but now it's back. Okay. Hmm. Ben Carson sounds alarm on growing terror nukes. Water levels in Nevada's Lake Mead is dropping to new lows. Chinese newspaper posted a map of a bomb Japan. And that's the news for today.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just want to throw a thought out there with respect to the gay agenda. You know, the agenda and the politics and the leveraging of a population is a different subject than the individuals whom God loves. But, you know, just like many things, there's a reason God takes the position that he does. He doesn't necessarily explain every aspect of it to us. So where that is concerned, you know, maybe he knows more about it than we do. And just because we can't always reason through, not every individual, I mean, we trust God and his word, but, you know, there's people out there who try to make every decision based on whatever they think and what perceptions they have. And you always need to consider that God probably knows things that we as individuals don't know. And I just wanted to make that point. I don't want to go any farther than that.
I agree. As you know, I totally agree with that position. I think there's, you know, I love the gay people out there. I like them. You know, I think there's some wonderful people, but it doesn't mean that we have to approve of what they do, you know.
No.
And I always tell people the bottom line is just follow what God says in the Bible. And we don't, if you ask anybody, any Christian, that they were an expert on the Bible, they would not tell you they know everything that is meant in the Bible. But we also, either you believe in all of it or you don't believe in any of it. You just follow all of it or you don't follow any of it. And so that's why we just follow it and we just accept it. That's our standard. It's different than the world. The world operates off one standard and we operate off another standard. And that's what the Bible is telling us to do. And that's what we follow. That's what's required if you want to enter the kingdom. You know, that's why we're enemies of the world and the world doesn't like us and all that stuff, you know. But that doesn't mean we hate those people either. You know, the Lord gave me a vision last year and he told me, which is interesting, he said the year of the rapture, which I thought was interesting. He said that last year, referring to the rapture year, which was this year, he said that there was going to be a lot of Christians that were going to lose their crown and would not enter the rapture. And because he said they were going to be on a hate campaign towards the gay community, and the enemy set it up to where it would be all, he said this year would be all about gay rights, and boy was God right on that one. So he said what would happen is the enemy would make it all about gay rights, so that way every time he throws something out about it, then there's another Christian that says they hate it, and they go on a hating campaign, and it just, I mean, on Facebook, I've got people on there, and they're just constantly hate, for every time there's a gay thing mentioned, they just go on a rampage, and then there's 500 views and comments, and I just stay out of all of it. But God told me many of them would lose their crown because they got on a hate campaign and the enemy took them off, you know. And that's not the intention, right? That's a distraction. It's a huge distraction. The idea is to, you know, just stay focused, you know. All we do is talk about the rapture. We talk about our lives should show up as it is, you know. I mean, I worked with the gay community in West Hollywood when I lived there for 14 years, and I brought many to the Lord, and I didn't. I never judged them, never talked about them and their sin, not once. But I talked all about God and the Bible, because what I talked about was the rapture. I said, let's be pure and holy and ready for the rapture. That was my ticket with them, you know. Not about like don't do this, you know. My personal view is that this is what I tell people: every person is born with a sin that can drag them right into hell. Each one of us has a sin in the Bible that could drag us right into hell. Whether it's gossiping or judging or whatever. There's always one sin that if you let get out of control, could pull you away from God, pull you away from the Bible, send you off on a wild turkey chase that the enemy's got you on and drag you right into hell. Right? Whether it's lust or sex, whatever, you know. So the key is, you know, like everyone's got that sin, so we all turn from it. We're all working on our own personal sins, our own personal carry the cross daily, and that's what we're all working on. Well, those people are no different. They just have something else to turn from. Everyone's got something to turn from. So that's why I don't really single the gay people out. I just see everyone. If you look at those verses where gay people are mentioned, it mentions every kind of sin possible. So, you know,
right.
We're all under the same umbrella. We all got stuff to work on, you know. But the key is really our focus is get away from that sin and keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep it on, and then on the rapture so we can go home and get the heck out of here. You know, that's
right.
That's our focus. You know, I think sometimes people get too focused on, you know, avoid the sin, but focus on Jesus. That's really the key to get away from it all, you know, and God will work with everyone on their own terms to bring them into alignment with what he wants, you know. But
exactly.
Yeah, that's all my thing. That's why I was able to talk to gay people and not, they never got mad at me or anything because I talked about the fact that we're all just ready, we're getting ready for the rapture, you know.
Yeah.
That's our focus,
yeah.
You know?
Well, what you said was really good, Keith, because, you know, lead them to Jesus, and Jesus will lead them, you know, in their own circumstances. We don't have to, you know, fight them. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not even sure how to talk about the people who, you know, try to sort of righteously go against people. On the one hand, I totally understand that they're recognizing that the decline of culture, the very obvious attack on Christian values. But you know, I wonder if they pray about it before they do that, or do they just tell God in prayer what they're going to do? Because, you know, I think we all understand that that's not a very, you know, you're not going to really lead people to God very well. You know, there are certain kinds of fear that are, in fact, you know, I think of it as tough love. Sometimes you have to give a hard message.
Yeah.
Which people don't want to hear, and then it's
right.
Up to them whether they want to reject it or not. But but going out and basically deliberately offending people, that's a different thing. And we totally agree that that these trends are not right, they're not justified, and they're clearly intended to be against God. But at the same time, you know, our best weapon is our love, and the contrast, not the similar behavior, you know, that we can offer, which is aggression and disrespect of somebody else's perspective. You know, what we can offer is an opening love and lead them to real truth in Jesus Christ and the manner in which they can learn from him. And, you know, lead them to water and living water. And it's a hard thing. I mean, I probably the people who need the most prayer are the people who are going out there attacking and
yeah.
not in love, but in, you know, not really embracing the best, purest message of the gospel.
It becomes very self-righteous. Like, you know, they're out
right.
at night, they're looking at porn, you know, and having sex with their girlfriend, and then in the daytime they're yelling at the Christians. I mean, the gay people tell them they're going to hell. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
come on.
Right.
I mean, how much of the church today, if you think there's a very common sin that the church completely misses. They're so busy going after the gay people. How many people in the church today are dating someone? You know, dating is not acceptable. My friend Hugh Thomas went to heaven 17 times, and she said, if you're dating someone, you should not be having sex, you should not be kissing, you shouldn't be any of that. She said, no, no, no. But yet in the church, it's totally acceptable. There's 3 million people, 3 million Christians on Match.com, and they all look up all their, they go to on there, and they find all the people that they want to meet, and they're cruising them, looking at all the pictures, which is sexual morality, and then they're all dating, they're making out. And one of the sites said, research said over 60% of them are sleeping together. So,
wow.
Okay. Yeah,
right.
yeah, absolutely, and that's okay, because
right. right.
the reason why they justify it, because they say they're looking for their life partner, the Bible talks about, the husband of the wife. See, they're looking for the partner, see, but that's
mm-hmm.
not, that's,
mm-hmm.
the Lord told me, what's the difference between that and being single at a bar, and a sinner at a bar sleeping around, compared to the Christian who's on a dating site? Same thing, the same thing. So the church is missing all that. They're missing all that. They're so busy looking somewhere else.
Gosh.
They've missed it all in their own church. You see what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
MillionsMatch.com, or they're hooking up, and they all these studies are saying that they're okay with it because they said the Lord approves of it because they're looking for this. Right. That's what
right.
I'm talking about with going on in the church today, that you'll never, if you raise your hand in the middle of the church and you talk about that, they'll have it escort you right out of there. If you mention gay rights, they're going to, oh, they'll love that one. You know, so that's what the Lord chose me to think. It's called hypocrisy, you know, and it's crazy stuff going on in the church today. That's why I always tell people on Facebook and YouTube, focus on your own issue that you're dealing with. Don't worry about all those other people out there. You know, but also, honestly, if all these people in the churches were focused on the rapture right now, they would not be out going on witch hunts and everything else, you know, trying to kill people, you know, and all that stuff, all the gay people. They wouldn't be, right? If they were focused on the rapture, it would be a whole different thing.
That's a good point, Keith. That's a really good point. The rapture is actually a much healthier thing to be focused on than a lot of the social issues. That's a great point.
They'd be repenting, and they would be like Dr. Owar. Prophet Owar says instead of dancing and singing in the church is getting all crazy, they should be repenting. Difference, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole key. If they were all about the rapture, they would be repenting and trying to stay holy and pure and trying to encourage each other, much like what we do on RCC, you know?
Amen. Yep.
And watching these events.
You know, this reminds me of this church, and I think they're in Kansas, and their head pastor, who was pretty old, just died. But I think it's called something like Westminster Baptist Church or something.
Mm-hmm.
And and they would go around, and I don't know, maybe they still are, but this was just a few months ago that their head senior pastor died. And they would go around and protest the funerals of American soldiers who died overseas because opposed military action. And they did all kinds of things, and they actually threatened, while I was still, we were still attending the church that we went to for a long time, it was a fairly good-sized church, and they actually threatened to come and protest there for, I can't even remember what it was, but in event, somehow or other, that was headed off and didn't occur, but, extremely, you know, hateful, distasteful. And things like that, and it's beyond my mind that an organization of people who call themselves Christian can be so rabidly behind, traveling around the country and just, you know, attacking individual families in their worst moments of grief. That's clearly satanic. And you can call it Christian, you can call it Baptist, you can call it whatever you want. That is an evil spirit that drives out that kind of behavior. And because you just simply wouldn't do that because you're not showing any respect for or love for those people and those families. And so whether you do it on an individual basis or, you know, you dress your little, you know, 8-year-old up in black and white, and have him carrying around a big, thick Bible telling their people they're all going to hell, or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you know, this is not the right spirit. This is not the spirit of God. I mean, you know, God, he met people where they were at and showed them love and taught them truth and showed them the path to reconciliation with God. He did not go to offend and castigate and upturn anybody's lives. And the only things he ever upturned and criticized were the Pharisees and Sadducees, basically the rabbinical class, who were out against him and who were abusing their authority in the temple and in the religion of the Hebrews. And other than that, all he did was love people and heal people. And, you know, lead them to God and give them nuggets that they could follow. So it's just, I don't know. I usually don't get focused on things like that, but those people are just so poorly led. And, I mean, do you guys agree that has to be basically a non-godly spirit to cause people to do those things?
Absolutely. Those are many of those Christians are not going to enter the rapture either because of that. You know, God doesn't want to see that behavior.
No.
On YouTube, right. You'll see a lot of, you'll see some, not a lot, but you'll see some people post videos where they just take out every false prophet that they think is a false prophet, and they, you know, oh, I'm going to take out this person. I watched this person's video, and I don't think they're right on, and so I'm going to slam them, and, you know, and that's what they do. And then, you know, one of the guys is claiming that we're supposed to judge others, our own brothers, so that's why God accepts that, you know, and just like, the Lord shows, it's like, having put videos like that about other Christians who are tearing down the kingdom, you know, those are just, these are the same kind of things. God doesn't want us tearing down the kingdom. He wants us building it up, you know.
Right.
If we're building, if we're super busy building the kingdom, we won't have time to want to tear it down, you know. It's different, you know.
Right.
If you don't like somebody's YouTube video, then unsubscribe to them, you know. And if you think they're a false prophet and blah, 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 then don't listen to them.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't like somebody's family at the funeral or what, then don't go there. You know, let God deal with it. The Holy Spirit is amazing because the Holy Spirit will take somebody that's a Christian, a sinner, and right, and will bring them into the fold, and then the Holy Spirit will start working with that person. They'll reveal their sins to them in a way that they can change, and they do it. Look, God, you know, when God brought me back 4 years ago, and most of the bride was brought back in 2011, He took us back step by step by step. Most YouTubers, Facebook, all the crap, a lot of them were pulled back in 2011. He doesn't, like, hit you on the first day over head with all the stuff you got to do. He takes you step by step, like He showed me today. He says, I take my people step by step, because I don't think, you know, if you told someone that God saved today that what they'd have to do, honestly, to line up, oh, boy, you know, that'd be too much for them to handle.
Yeah.
They'd probably run.
Well,
that's
the
hard part, right? You got to share with them, but you don't want to tell them it. Go ahead, Jerry.
Absolutely. Well, I was just going to say, I started the show and basically talked about early on, you know, He took me through a step yesterday. and you know, that's where we're all at. And obviously there's no way, until He transforms us, we in body and in spirit, we cannot, you know, ever completely reach where He's at. And so there's always going to be steps available to take. And
right.
It's a matter of whether we're willing to do those things, or how quickly we how quickly we move from one step to the next.
Yeah, and that's
but that's an individual thing.
Before you said that, you said, and I'm still taking you step by step by step. And then you had said that.
Amen.
Just now.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
hey, I wanted
right.
to mention that we've got Dave from Colorado on the line. Dave, are you speaking?
I'm here, brother.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hello, Sister Pat.
Hi, honey. How you doing?
Is that Brother Keith over there, I hear?
Hey, Dave. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Brother Keith.
Yep, that's Keith. Somebody had mentioned...
Hi, all. I love
about.
It's Tana.
Let me just see.
Okay. Joe's on the line, but he wanted to be muted, so...
Hi,
Joe.
Somebody who's ever been talking, can you, I don't know if I'm on right now.
Oh, it's Tana.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Tana.
Anyway, what I called about real quick here, who's ever with you, Jerry, the other gentleman?
Keith.
Was talking about, you know, Keith, yeah. I thought it was Keith. But anyway, was saying something, I'm just paraphrasing that, you know, if we believe in the rapture, you know, it should be doing something to us, you know, something through us, even that belief. And if you recall yourself saying that about 5 or 10 minutes ago, but
yes.
Anyway, this scripture popped up as soon as you believe it, as soon as you said it, and I'll just share it, and then I'll get out of here. I'll boogie.
Okay.
Anyway, it was in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, which reads, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And this is the part I want to get to. "And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure."
Amen.
That should be a Bible result, you know, of having that hope of meeting the Lord in the air. It just said so. It's not even our opinion. It's the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
That that should be the result of that, that every man that has this rapture, this catching away of the bride, at least, or the, those that are counted worthy to escape, whatever people want to call it, but every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. And that isn't God's ultimate decision. It's ours. It says that man purifies himself. So it is our decision. And anyway, I just concurred with what the brother said. And
awesome.
I just wanted to share that with you folks. Enjoy the show again. So,
brother Dave, thanks.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. God bless you all.
That's how he works through us as a group. He does that all the time. And thank you for sharing that, because it's a great example of that. And, you know, anybody out there who doesn't get it or doesn't understand it, you don't need to understand it. You just have to believe it. And I can promise you that if you try to believe it and try to walk in it, in a while, you actually will understand it. But put your faith ahead of your brain, and it makes a huge difference. Really well. Anything else, Dave? I think you muted himself. Again.
Well, just a quick thought. And that, you know, like when you were young and you wanted to cross the street at 3 years old and your daddy said no, you know, and we think what we know it's best. It's like the scripture that Keith was talking about, and, you know, like people trying to fudge the scriptures to justify their sin. And
right.
Daddy says, don't do this, don't do this. And we say, oh, I think it's okay. You know, but we have to just trust Daddy. And then later on, like I think you just said, you know, later on as we grow, things begin to make sense. Why Daddy said what Daddy said. And the thing is, we have to obey him, and he'll just give us the knowledge on a need-to-have basis as we grow in Christ. So, you know, and anyway, I just concur. And that's it. I appreciate the show, and I appreciate each one of you. So God bless you all.
Sure.
You too,
thank you, Dave. Love you. Thank you. I've got another caller here, and I'm not exactly sure who it is. 814? Nope. Yeah, hold on. 814?
Hey, guys, it's Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are
you? How are you guys doing tonight?
Okay, how are you?
Doing pretty well.
Not much. Patiently waiting.
Hmm?
Sorry, Chris, I didn't understand what you said.
Patiently waiting, just...
Okay.
I told you guys, you know, God told me that before Israel went to an all-out war, we would be gone, and I keep watching and watching and watching, and
yeah,
you know, it's just
getting crazier.
Yeah,
our king is
the drama king of kings. He's going to wait to the last minute.
Yeah, he does that.
Yeah. So, yeah, Chris, I definitely hear you. No doubt about it. Keith, did you have anything else, or did you want to be on about your other things?
No, that's it. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Okay.
I'm
going to, I think we'll play a song here, and when I come back, I will mention a little bit about ISIS and sort of a grab bag of thoughts, and
cool.
and anybody can chime in, but it's, you will be surprised how far reaching this is, and in a sense, how, almost central to future prophecy, just could be.
I think we should come together and pray for Israel right now for their, you know, safety and patience on the Lord's timing, that they don't, that's something that, you know, being as Israel is the time clock that the prophetic world is set by, They have to do things in God's timing, and they're getting antsy. So,
yeah, you know, that's a good thing.
He's going to work it in his will no matter what, but just to make sure
Katie,
they stay in God's will.
Our rapture-centric sister Katie has done some videos specifically about Israel yesterday and even today, I think. So that's a great point. Father, we come together in our very blessed rapture-centric family and with thanks for your provision for us and your power, which makes it real. And on this occasion, we come to you in sympathy on behalf of your beloved Israel, the people, and the land. And we know that you're going to do an extraordinary work there, but we also know that they're under tremendous pressure and difficulty, both internally as well as from outside forces. So, Lord, we just simply ask your wisdom, your powerful presence on all their leaders and the population. And even, Lord, bless the peoples of their enemies, because through that blessing you can work powerfully and open doors and opportunities that wouldn't arise any other way.
Amen.
So, Father, on behalf of Israel, we thank you and trust you for the blessings and your full power, your mighty power, to go forth over that land and for those people, that your will be done, and that the people receive you as quickly and gracefully as is possible for them. Father, we know that there's a partial hardening of the hearts in that land, which is a provision from you. But we also know that you can lift that at the proper moment. So, Father, we ask that that moment comes soon, and we trust and know that your plan is the best plan. And so we ask and send a blessing through you to all those in Israel, the land of Israel, and the hearts and the lands of their enemies, as you will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We agree.
I think what I'm going to do here is play a song, Speak Life, and then we'll come back and talk about ISIS.
Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Broken, live or die. So speak life. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine. Words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life.
Amen. I'll jump right in here. Talking about ISIS, the Lord led me to discuss this today. That's not one of my normal topics, at least as certainly I was surprised to be directed by him to do it. It's a far-reaching topic because ISIS, as we know it right now in the Middle East, is a military group which is trying to declare itself as a caliphate, which means a religious-run state with a supreme leader who is the head of the religion. They're declaring themselves the head of all Islam. And, of course, there's many factions of Islam, so that right there is absolutely a reason for war and military action within Islam. So who are they? Well, they were associated with Al-Qaeda for quite a while. They are said to have been involved under the name Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda in Iraq. By the way, Al-Qaeda means the base, and I saw an allusion to that recently, which actually inferred that the word the base is literally as a base of a statue, the base of something, not like a military base. That is, you know, what we might call a foundation. So this group has been out there. It's gone through one or two leadership changes. It arguably has opposed U.S. interests in a few places, although not always. It is a purely religious organization that is now attacking, you know, any idol, any multi-god thing. And it's really ironic that it's attacking what is considered pagan religion, because the very name ISIS is an Egyptian god, which was part of an Egyptian godhead, which I'll get into in a little while. But so there's even a contradiction in its name, which it has used itself, by the way. And the values it says it promotes. I found this in a sort of a historical review, and it relates to the Egyptian Revolution of 2011, which we call the Arab Spring Movement more widely, as it swept across northern Africa and sort of leapfrogged Turkey into Syria and led to the Syrian Civil War. This I'm going to read this section. This is actually out of Wikipedia, but I've checked it. A statement of support for Egyptian protesters, which appears to have been the first reaction of any group affiliated with Al-Qaeda to the protests in Egypt during the 2011 Arab Spring Movement, was issued by the Islamic State of Iraq on jihadist forums on the 8th of February 2011. The message addressed to the protesters was that the, quote, market of jihad, which means revolution, had opened in Egypt, and that the doors of martyrdom had opened, and that every able-bodied man must participate. It urged Egyptians to ignore ignorant, deceiving ways of secularism, democracy, and, quote, rotten pagan nationalism, unquote. In other words, patriotism. Your jihad, it went on, is in support of Islam and the weak and oppressed in Egypt for your people, quote unquote, in Gaza and Iraq forever. So it mentioned Gaza even back in 2011, which is, you know, part of the Israeli settlement area, for every, which is to say the Arab side, for every Muslim who has been touched by the oppression of the tyrant of Egypt and his masters in Washington and Tel Aviv. Okay, this was Hosni Mubarak, who led Egypt for many, many years and was widely considered to be the tool of the CIA and United States and of course, in Arab perspective, is Tel Aviv, meaning Israel, which is their true government city. The thing is, of all the groups in the world that could have voiced support, the very first group to support the Arab Spring Revolution, which deposed Mubarak in Egypt, was this group, which is now known by the name of ISIS. The thing that's interesting about that is that it's been pretty conclusively shown that the entire Arab Spring movement was done in cooperation with and actually led by a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. And if you focus on that word brotherhood for a moment, you'll begin to understand how it's related to other organizations around the world. If you think of other brotherhoods and the like, you think of things like secret societies, lodges, and things like that. And they, of course, their talks are led by Illuminati-type affiliated people. Now, one of the things about the Middle East area in general is that the current head of Turkey, Tayyip Erdogan, his party was originally named the Muslim Brotherhood Party. And the entire Muslim Brotherhood, the leadership of it, is actually centered in Turkey. So what you have is a group that's claiming an affiliation with Arabic and Muslim interests. But their first affiliation is to their group, their so-called brotherhood. And the very first group that has voiced support in Egypt, and this was in 2011 for the revolt there, was this group. So they clearly are affiliated in some way and support this group. Now, this is interesting because these brotherhoods are not pure Islam. They are not purely Islamic. They put their brotherhood and their internal secret relationships ahead of these other religious and Arabic labels. So here's a connection right there to that and the Arab Spring. So you can say that they're related to the Arab Spring across northern Africa. We know that they filed into Syria, especially their equipment, from Turkey. And you can see this pretty readily if you simply look at a map and the relationship of the countries. You know that they didn't file in through Iran to Syria and Iraq. And they were in Iraq, but they still had to get equipment somehow in there. And it came directly through Iraq, which means they were in on it, which doesn't appear to be the case at the moment. Or they came in through Syria. And so they're part of the Syrian conflict on the side opposite of the sitting government there. And this is important because these brotherhoods have a relationship to these Egyptian gods. And there is where ISIS, the term, instead of seeming to be a contradiction, actually becomes an appropriate label and starts to simplify these things. The criminal and probably banker-led movement that's so powerful within our government in New York, but also in Britain and elsewhere, clearly are involved in the operation of this group. The leaders of this group take the name al-Baghdadi, and there's been more than one that has taken that moniker. And it struck me today as a little bit funny because it almost sounds like Big Daddy. And then recently we had a headline that said that they have $2 billion to apply to their war efforts. And it made me think of Big Daddy Warbucks or Daddy Warbucks in the Annie movie. But they clearly have the money. That money doesn't come from nowhere. In fact, there's an article or two that I found, and when I was looking this up today, I noticed, among other things, that there's a news website that is very left-wing that has run several articles on this group, and it's called The Beast. And this is the outfit that actually bought Newsweek magazine and then folded it a while later. Now, Newsweek magazine is the magazine that ran most of the most provocative covers of Barack Obama before, during, and after his campaign. You know, the one with him on the cross, the one with him as Shiva, and some of the others. And so of course, the very name of it tells you quite a bit. It's called The Daily Beast. So this article is about... one of these articles is about how this group is about to destroy biblical history And they're basically saying that Obama's hands are tied and so on and so forth because of his policy to get the military out of Iraq, so he doesn't want to send it back. And so, oh, you know, oh my gosh, you know, wringing hands. And there's always an excuse provided when these people fail. So they're attacking all these sites. In fact, there was a picture today of the same group, ISIS, attacking the tomb of Noah, or not Noah, Jonah. And they showed him taking a sledgehammer to the tomb. But here is a different article that I found. Let's see if I can get it when I get back. It's why the White House ignored all those warnings about ISIS. And this is the one that provides all the excuses. But there's a really great quote in here, and I'll just read a couple of paragraphs. This is an expert on the area. Since last year, U.S. intelligence analysts routinely highlighted the growing problems and deficiencies within the Iraqi security forces. One senior U.S. intelligence official told the Daily Beast, this official said beginning in 2013, analysts routinely warned about morale problems inside the Iraqi military, what he called, quote, leadership shortfalls, unquote, and a steady degradation in capabilities that was making it difficult for Iraqi security forces to combat ISIS. Despite this, this official stressed it was difficult to see the historic and rapid collapse of Iraqi forces in Mosul last month. And then another quote, it could have been a surprise for the average citizen, but I do not believe to the United States government it was a surprise. An Iraqi vice president currently in exile in Turkey. Everything is monitored. You can always see where ISIS is. It's easy to trace them. I just don't believe they were caught by surprise. Okay, so here's somebody who would know very well and in other respects would have no interest in exposing the United States because probably the area in the United States is still the closest thing he's got to an international friend outside of some people in Turkey. So where did he go? He went to Turkey where basically it's run by the Muslim Brotherhood by a different name. That quote, I thought, said really a lot because it means, look, it's easy to see where these people are, and they are out in the middle of the desert after all. How hard can it be to find them? And then they've taken over all this equipment. And a different part of this article said that with all these warnings, the current administration in the United States said they would not offer any human aid, you know, any armed forces. But they did offer to sell up to $11 billion of military equipment. So what's been in the news lately about military equipment in ISIS? Oh, well, they have rampaged through the country and taken over lots of high-quality military equipment. So in retrospect, you could actually say they were willing to lay the foundation for the equipping of all these people. So that's sort of where we're at, and we've discussed in the news frequently about what this is. So also I should add, this whole Muslim Brotherhood connection, Barack Obama's brother, one of his brothers, half-brothers, is a fundraiser living in Egypt for the Muslim Brotherhood, or at least was until they were deposed by the current Egyptian government. The military deposed the Muslim Brotherhood government after about a year and a half. His brother was living in Egypt fundraising for the Muslim Brotherhood when they were in power. So he has very, very strong ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. We also know he has strong ties to the world elites who are connected with all of the brotherhoods. And some of these brotherhoods actively use Egyptian and Arabic symbolism and their organizations in the United States, the Scimitar, the Crescent. Even the name of one of these organizations is one of the two tributaries of the Euphrates River in Turkey. So they're very, very strong ties that they are trying to obscure to these organizations and this elitist secret society that they are trying to create a one-world government out of. I should also probably repeat that something I mentioned before, and that's that the term Mystery Babylon in the Book of Revelation, if you look up in the concordance the meaning of the word that is translated as mystery, it actually more directly means secret. So the Babylon system, now we're not talking about the city of Babylon, which is depicted as a specific location. We're talking about Mystery Babylon, which I believe is the secret system, which is building towards a one-world government. And they're secret because they work behind the scenes and through so-called secret societies, whether it's the Skull and Bone Society that many of our presidents have come out of, or particular lodges that operate through secrecy, or their affiliations that are secret, or even their affiliations with other organizations, which we'll get to here in a minute. The bottom line is there are direct links to the same people that we can that we can carry all the way through the things that we know about the people who would create a one-world government and who are in direct opposition to the Creator God. At this point, we're going to start talking about the and just a few things about the goddess Isis and how that can be seen today in a different, slightly form. But does anybody have anything that they'd like to add to that, or did that spring any thoughts that you'd like to mention?
It's a lot. Boy. God be with us. God protect us.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great point, Pat. It really is a lot. And I don't know exactly what his purpose is in having us go over this, although he clearly thinks it's timely. And I think he wants people to understand the connections. However, I think it's good to remind everybody that, you know, just like me even personally, while I see these things and I have some background that helps me understand them, that's not where my daily focus is. My daily focus is
right.
on God and His leading.
Right.
But
exactly.
So you don't, you know, if you feel like this is an awful lot or, boy, there's too many moving pieces, you know what? Don't worry about
it. I still have
peace. Pursue God.
Exactly.
Listen to God. But there are clearly specific reasons that he wanted us to discuss this. So I think I'll go on.
Oh, yeah. We got to know what's going on. Know how to pray.
So once again, this is Wikipedia, but it's a pretty reasonable condensing of what the goddess Isis is.
Mm.
And by the way, the very first line, it says, this article is about the ancient Egyptian goddess. For the militant group, see Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, L-E-V-A-N-T. I'll come back to that. Just remember that that last word is substituted for Syria in their title,
right.
And it's widely used.
Yep.
Okay, so Isis, it says here, is the goddess of health, marriage, and love. In other words, a fertility goddess, and all the things that are associated with it. The goddess Isis is portrayed as a woman wearing a headdress shaped like a throne and with an ankh in her hand. Well, she actually has something in each hand, and its fundamental characteristic is exactly the same sort of symbolizing that you get in satanic worship and in the secret societies. And the thing is, and you will see many kings over history depicted exactly this way. You'll see and you'll also see a lot of people in modern culture when they're painted in portraits or particular pictures doing this. With one thing in their hand or their hand itself pointing up and the other one pointing down. And this is the whole satanic thing of as above, so below. It's a reflection of up and down, which is also reflected in black and white. It's where the origination of the checker thing comes from, although obviously it's used more widely now in culture. But it's the up and the down, which also means upside down and so on. So this is one of the things it says. And this is the picture. This is a description of some aspects of the depictions of Isis. A throne, a sun disk with cow's horns, sparrow, cobra, vulture, and a sycamore tree. These are all the symbols. And I think that this just people should keep in mind the variety of symbols here, because it may well be pertinent to our experiences today. Its consort was Osiris and Ra. Ra is the sun god, and some say Anubis. The siblings were Osiris, Set, Nephthys, and Hereris. And one of the offspring is Horus. Well, I've seen it said fairly convincingly. We have seen in various different emulations in churches. I've seen them in things that are carried in the Vatican. And the symbol IHS. And obviously we have a Christian explanation for what that might mean. But I've also seen it argued very convincingly that it means Isis, Horus, and Set. And as we're told, the Greek and Egyptian mythology, Set was killed Osiris. And one of the things that was done with his body was that it was cut up and distributed to far-reaching places so he could never be reassembled.
Oh, my.
Well, the thing that's interesting to me about that is that that's exactly what has been done with so many of the people called saints in the Catholic Church, is they take their bodies apart, send them all over to different places as, presumably to remember these people. But it's what that does is it replicates the story of Osiris and Set and Isis. So some of these things go very far back, and the Greeks seem to catch on very quickly to this Egyptian heritage. And here is some other things it says about her. It says the worship spread throughout the Greco-Roman world of Isis. She was worshipped as an ideal mother and wife, as well as the patroness of nature and magic. So, basically, Mother Nature and magic powers. She was the friend of slave sinners, basically downtrodden, but also listened to prayers of the wealthy. Mother of Horus, the hawk-headed god of war, which we've often seen depicted. And, of course, what we see in the current Isis is they're definitely leading war. The name of Isis means throne. Her headdress is a throne. So she is a self-declared, basically, seat of power, but possibly not her own power. She may be acting as an agent for another, and I think we can imagine who that might be. The pharaoh was always depicted as her child. And that was for who, that's who the throne was provided for in their legend. I will skip some of this and go straight to the last paragraph in this portion. The worship of Isis eventually spread throughout the Greco-Roman world, continuing until the suppression of paganism in the Christian era. The popular motif of Isis suckling her son Horus, however, lived on in a Christianized, which is to say Roman version, context as the popular image of Mary suckling the infant son Jesus from the 5th century onward. So this is a supposedly pagan symbol that the Roman Church did not eliminate. It actually embraced it. Mm. And so this is a symbolism that you will see carried forward into prophecy, I'm sure. I feel like I shouldn't go too far into this, but what I should tell you is the name ISIS, well, actually in other forms, ISIS is similar to Aphrodite, and basically any head female goddess. You get into the Greek, Venus? It's Aphrodite. You get into Rome, it's Venus.
Yeah.
And in almost every case, ISIS, it is depicted in association with blue and white. And the blue and white relates to the name of Aphrodite, which means foam, which is like sea foam. So if you see, literally, sea foam on the water, you see white and blue together. And this has to do with some of the things Jonathan Kleck discusses and the corruption of humans' DNA and where it comes from. But in this case, I think it's most important to understand that from a particular point of view, ISIS is a direct, the Mary idol images, which we see in the Roman Church, have a direct association to the Egyptian god Isis. Now, this comes in, it becomes very important where Islam is concerned, because for there to be a one-world religion, by far the two most prolific in the world right now, numerically, are the Roman Church and Islam. And for there to be one world religion, these two have to be joined. And I believe it's through this image that they will be joined. And the reason I believe that is because when Istanbul was named Constantinople and Constantine built the churches in Turkey and so on, the mother image suckling the child or holding the child, which in our Christian point of view we see, oh, it's baby Jesus, yeah, right. They have embraced that in Islam.
Oh, wow.
That image and that iconography was never disturbed in Istanbul.
Wow.
And this image will be used in my leading to unite Islam and the Roman Church. And the Roman Church has said, the Pope this week said, you can't go straight to Jesus in your relationship with God. You have to go through a building, is essentially what they said. That you cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Oh,
that it's dangerous to do that. So the Roman Church will co-opt or plans to co-opt independent Christianity. Islam will then capture most of the rest of the world by governance or some other means. And then the two can be united. And militarily, this group ISIS in the Middle East can do it across the region. Very interesting that I think it was the same day that the yeshiva boys in Israel were found and been murdered, was the day that Shimon Peres, who is the president of Israel, came out and said that he believes the military group ISIS will serve to unite Israel and the Arab nations.
Wow.
So perhaps this puts in context some of his thoughts. Keep
his
in mind that these
already.
Secrets... Yeah, and these secret societies are well at work with inside Israel today without any question.
Yeah.
And they are being referred to when you see Arabs, whether it's the Iranians or others, speak of Zionism, this is who they've identified. But it misses the translation as it crosses into Western media. But when they say Zionism, they're not just talking about Israelis. They're talking about the banking movement, which is corrupted, and they don't care whether it's corrupted the rabbinic class or not. But when they say Zionism, they are trying to identify these people who are running the secret society and the banking system and so on. So this image of the Mother Mary, which is what fakes say it is really ISIS. And They will use it because it's popular and a beloved image, of course, and in particular amongst the women of Islam. And that's one of the reasons.
I never knew that.
And so this is the image around which, and I also believe that there's a very strong chance, although I can't exactly make it fit the translation of scripture that I have, but I think there's a very strong chance that the image which is set up to memorialize the beast that is in Revelation will actually be a Mary image. And that a mother image will be the one, I believe, that will be set up that has power over people and you know, can read their minds and all these things, that can speak.
Crazy.
And so on.
Crazy.
So ISIS and the name ISIS is so far-reaching, but when you reach out into both history and the future, you can see that its name is quite connected to all of these themes that we see playing out in front of us.
Yeah.
Now, there's one more thing that I want to mention, and I don't know if it's right to call it a sidelight because I believe it's significant, but last week I watched a financial advisor, a tape of a widely distributed financial advisor guy who does some interviews and things. He's very outspoken, and it was his statement for 2014, which was uttered, I think, on the 17th or something, this video, on the 17th of January. And he said that in the Middle East, he had heard, and this was at that time, that the French were going to powerfully and aggressively move into Syria, apparently in opposition to the seated government, which is Assad.
The French?
Well, he said the French, which, you know, in my mind, the most consistent accomplishment of the French in world matters seems to be surrender. That's a little bit of a joke, but also true. However, they do have a relationship to events in the Middle East that goes often overlooked. When the Shah of Iran was deposed in 1979, the man who came to power lived for, I think, about 20 years in Paris. And he was widely supported in Paris, and he sprung from there to Iran when they had their uprising and deposed the Shah. And the French can be seen indirectly involved in various other things. The secret societies that were involved in the American Revolution were also involved in the French Revolution. And guess what they decided to do about 100 years later? They decided to make a statue, pay for it themselves, which they never pay for anything themselves, and send it to the United States.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now that statue is mounted and called the Statue of Liberty. Well, what is liberty? Well, it's liberté. And it represents, guess what, the Roman goddess.
Wow.
So many people have done videos discussing the relationship between the Statue of Liberty and Roman and Greek goddesses.
It's got to be in there somewhere,
so the secrets, right? So the secret societies involved in France for the French Revolution were closely related to the ones involved in the United States in the American Revolution. And then more recently out of France has come significant amount of skullduggery, which has affected world events.
Mm.
And they have, of course, close economic ties to Iran also, which don't get discussed very often in the United States.
No.
Even the Europeans don't discuss it much. It's just sort of understood, you know. The Germans are the same way. And this is why the U.S. has not been able to do anything with the Iranians, unless, of course, it was part of the plan. So the French may be supporting ISIS, because the military action that did occur this year was a strategic ramping up of ISIS in Syria and then Iraq. So the French had long involvement in Iraq. And remember, the alternate name of ISIS, of the military group, is the Islamic State in the Levant. And Levant is, of course, a French term and it represents all of the nations that surround Israel, but most particularly those to the north and the east and the west, which are Egypt, but also most particularly Syria, Iraq, and Iran. And they declared a caliphate over those areas. They would also have control, if they achieved their goal, of Saudi Arabia and Jordan. And then I should mention Lebanon. So all of these nations are subject eventually to the influence of this ISIS or ISIL group, and the L standing for the Levant, which is a regional term to the nations around Israel, or including Israel from their point of view. And guess what? The word is a French-based word. And they have used this title as well as the title ISIS. So there are French connections to this, and obviously I believe we're also going to see these things play out with respect to the Roman Church and the United of Islam. And this is why the Vatican seems to be involved in purchasing a lot of property and apparently has a secret agreement to take over control of Jerusalem at some point.
Yeah.
When the nation of Israel feels that they are able to make it public. It wouldn't be palatable right now. But it might be after they have a major victory in a widespread war against Arabic forces. So keep an eye on ISIS, and not only the military group, but also the namesake, because we are seeing a condensing and a formulation of a familiar but different form of these ancient worship practices than has existed before, which is exactly what is predicted in prophecy.
Isn't the United States funding ISIS?
I believe so, yeah, because they're related to Al-Qaeda. I think it's clear that there's Western people involved in the leadership groups, you know, and basically there's a portion of the CIA that seems to do a lot of this stuff, and they have they've operated in secrecy since World War II, and hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars later, and 40 to 70 years later, you can do a lot when people aren't watching, especially when you control the media.
Then it begs the question, does the United States have to fear ISIS invading if we're funding them? That's the question that people are wanting to know.
Well, you have to remember that the people who might be funding them, to the extent that they're in our country, they can label it anything they want. They can have people over here, and they'll label it in whatever manner they wish. So if there is what's called a false flag event, a so-called attack on the United States, say it's ISIS all they want, and nobody will have anybody except people who are independently thinking to question it. But, the headlines will all be, ISIS blows up this and that or whatever, because that's what they want us to think.
Yeah.
But if ISIS is us, then we can, anyway, I'm not sure. Keith, I wanted to give you a chance if you had anything, if you're still on the line. I'm not sure. Anyway, we have a little bit of time left.
You did a great job on that.
Do you have any?
Yeah, that was
okay.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you.
I learned a lot.
It sort of threw me off to talk about this today, but so I collected these things.
You've informed us.
Things are all real. But
aware
that there is a spiritual component to this group, ISIS. It goes way back to the Egypt times basically evil leading throughout history and can be traced to this woman goddess image.
Yeah.
And,
well, we'll understand more as time goes on since we understand this. Now, I didn't know any of this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's coming into play. So we should know it.
That is it. So we are probably about 45 seconds or less.
Okay.
I think.
And the bride says.
And the spirit of the bride says, "Ick,
come.
And come, Lord Jesus.
Come quick, Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Oh,
we're tired of all that.
Please come quickly."
Yeah.
What
yeah.
a mess.
Love you, Lord.
Love
you, Lord.
Love you, everybody. Love you, chat. Love everybody.
Yes. Yes,
oh,
yes.
my. Keep
Thank
your
you,
peace.
Lord.
Keep
Let's
cheerful.
Get us out of here. Amen.
God's in charge.
Amen.
Don't worry about a thing. Just be happy because you belong
yep.
to him and he belongs to you. Yeah.
Yes.
Just be sincere
yes.
and loving and happy and uplift the ones around you and don't let any of this get to you. Pray for Israel.
Nope.
I think this is going to be really bad, but God knows what's happening and God knows what's happening and God knows what's happening. So there you go.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So don't worry about anything.
Yep. Yep. Keep your eyes on the target, which is our Lord Jesus.
Exactly.
Thanks,
and everything else
thank
will fall
you, everybody.
Place. Okay.
Love
thank you.
You.
Love everybody.
We,
love you guys.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
We'll talk tomorrow. Or Groupon in the air. One or the other.
Amen. Amen in the air.
Amen. Amen in the air. Hallelujah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.